Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the Gospel of St. Mark, the 12th chapter. We hear these words. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrants. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. Just a few months ago in Jerusalem, the Israeli Defense Forces put on, as they do every year, a four-day pretend attack on Jerusalem. They blew off hand grenades, smoke bombs, fireworks, haphazardly all around the city, and then had different response teams go and respond to certain locations where this took place. Caused a lot of chaos on those 4 days when they did this. People on their mobile phones would get warnings about what had happened, so they would know what to do. You have about 14 minutes when a siren goes off to get into a bomb shelter if anything's coming from the Palestinians. Must be quite a place to live. Having been at the Temple Mount in my life, that area is intimidating. There is so much commotion and activity and so many different people and so many different types of people that are there. And there's a tremendous police presence there as well. Back in Jesus' day, they maybe didn't have pipe bombs and things going off in the temple area, but it was a place of extreme commotion and activity. It was the real hub of Jewish life for the people. And once in a while, it could even be a place of violence as well. The text before us takes place right in that very spot around the temple in the courtyard nearby. And this poor widow that comes to give her offering and put her offering in these alms receptacles. She's in this very humble state and kind of unnoticed by everybody, but Jesus sort of takes the spotlight of heaven and turns it on her for just a moment and elevates her up onto a pedestal along with Moses and Mary and Joseph and St. Paul and others, and has two of the gospel writers record this incident so that from now to the end of time, believers like us will notice the tremendous gift that she gave, even though it went completely unnoticed by the people buzzing around the temple that day. A commentator by the name of William Arndt says, "In heaven, her infinitesimal donation was recorded in figures of gold." I like that. Recorded in figures of gold. Now, a little bit about the setting here. This is right near the end of Jesus' ministry. It might have been only weeks or days before his trial and crucifixion and all of that. And he's been now lecturing and talking around in the temple courtyards. And the area he is probably in was known as the Court of Women. And this is where many women would sit during the day, some of them listening to teachers. And there was a lot of activity here. And they had these large, they looked like the tops of tubas, large receptacles. There were about 15 of them, I think, around the temple area that you could drop your coins in. And this woman comes and puts in these two mites. Adding up together, they were worth about 6 minutes of work. That was how much of a wage you could get out of it, about 6 minutes of work out of people. And right before this text, Jesus has been drawing attention to many of the teachers of the law, the very religious elite people that were standing around and many of them lecturing and so on. And he also draws attention to the fact that many of the people who are coming up to give offerings at the temple are doing it for show, and they're putting in some pretty large amounts. And then all of a sudden here comes this humble woman of faith and slinking through the crowd unnoticed, maybe a little child in her arm, and she comes up and puts in these few little coins and just slithers off into the distance. And there's no looking for show, no looking for praise or no audacity to her gift, and pretty much unnoticed by ordinary people in the region. And this account, whenever I read it, highlights a flaw in myself, and maybe for you too. I am so often very impressed by big things and big gifts, especially big gifts that might be given to the church. And we need to be reminded that man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. It's really not the size of this woman's gift that catches the eye of the Son of God. It's rather the heart that brings the gift. It's her faith that Christ is really praising here. This is really not a story primarily about our stewardship and what we give to God, although there's a lesson there too, but it's primarily a story about faith and trusting in the Word of God. We're told that this woman gave all that she had. What a statement of faith. My dad was a pastor for many years, and he had a guy in his church back in the probably 1980s or so, and this man was in his upper 70s, and he was an old bachelor, and had a couple of small farms, drove an old 20-year-old Chevy, and this guy donated about half of his income, my dad estimated, to the work of God. And when they started a Christian day school at their church, they had about 20 kids that came the first year. They didn't quite have enough money to hire a custodian. So this old, elderly bachelor man would drive into town every day from his farm, and he would empty the waste baskets, and he would clean the toilets for all of these kids. And nobody in the congregation even knew about it except my dad. There's a stinginess in me when it comes to the things of God. I'm kind of like George Costanza on Seinfeld, who when he finally gives the big tip of a $20 bill to the waitress because he just fell into some money, does it, but he holds on as long as he can, and she has to snap it out of his fingers. That's kind of how I am often when it comes to my giving to God. It's not just that I love money. I do. It's just not the evil in me that loves money. It's also my lack of trust in God's promises that he'll take care of me. That's probably the bigger issue in my heart. And that's really the opposite side here of what our Lord is showing us in this woman. Her great trust in the promises of God. God loves to see faith that latches on to his promises and that latches on to him and what he's done for us. And Jesus here is just glowing with appreciation for this woman. And he connects her gift back to the faith that's in her heart. Just like Cain and Abel both brought gifts to God, and yet it was the faith of Abel that made his gift so valuable in heaven. The true point of the account of this story is not merely the faith of the widow, but it's rather the object of her faith, and that is the good and gracious promises of God. So today you and I need to ask ourselves, as we think about what our Savior's done for us and what his promises are to us, where do you and I need to latch on more firmly to the good and gracious promises that God has given to us? That our sins are forgiven, that he's with us, that he's watching over us, that he's working out all things for our good, that he has an everlasting home prepared for us through the work of his Son. When I see this woman, I think of the hymn verse, Lord, give me such a faith as this, and then whate'er may come, we'll taste even here the hallowed bliss of an eternal home. Amen. And let us rise to sing our last two verses.